Today's daf is Yud Chet. We are in the middle of the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Prata and Rabbi Elazar ben Prata and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. If you remember, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion in the beginning kind of predicted what was going to happen, and he said, right, Rabbi Elazar comes to him and says, I was accused for five things and you were only accused for one, lucky you. And Rabbi Chanina says, what do you mean? You know, you're going to get out of it and I'm not, because I wasn't engaging in I only engage in Talmud Torah and not in Yilul Chasadim. And then we saw at the end of Shir yesterday all the things that Rabbi Elazar ben Prata was accused of and how he manipulated his way out of them with some a bit miraculous stuff going on. And let's see now what Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion does. We already know his fate, so we're going to see he has a bit of a different tactic and it doesn't really work. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, or whether he even has a tactic or not, is a good question. Amrulei, amai ka asak ba'oraita? Why were you learning Torah when we forbade learning Torah? Amar lehu, ka asher tzivani Hashem elokai. I was doing it as God commanded me. He was a bit of, you can see from the story later even, he was a bit of a dafkinik. He didn't really care. He said, this is what I'm doing. You don't want me to do it? You know, your problem. But in the end, it becomes his problem because miyad gazru alav l'srefa. Okay, so immediately they say, okay, this one gets burned, right? He didn't try to get out of it like Rabbi Elazar ben Prata did. And you can see, we see this nowadays, that there's certain people who are so antagonistic toward, you know, the enemy, so to speak, or whatever it might be, that they don't care, right? They're not trying to appease them. They're not trying to get away with things, right? Rabbi Elazar ben Prata was trying to kind of weave his way out of things. He said, look, this is what it is. I'm being straight and honest about it, and this is what it is. And, you know, you can maybe put him in the category of kana'im a little bit. You know, it's sort of like, this is how I see it. I don't care what you think. And in the end, they decide to burn him. But not only that, but alish chola hariga. Also, they sent his wife to be killed. Va'al bitole she'e b'kubash al zonot. And they put his wife in a... They put his daughter with prostitutes. Okay, this is basically forced her to be a prostitute. Okay, now we're going to go through what the Gemara obviously has to explain is he must have done, all these people must have done something wrong because people don't get punished for not doing anything wrong. So even though this was a punishment by the Romans, we assume, just like the earlier story with Rabbi Eliezer, he also assumed since he got accused of being a heretic, he must have done something wrong. So also they must have done something wrong that obligated them. So alav l'sreifa, we're going to go through all three now. Alav l'sreifa, shahaya hoge et hashem ba'otiyotav. We've seen this phrase before. It's a bit of a debate what exactly it means. Either he used the 42 otiyot of Hashem, and according to Rashi, he tried to make some magic out of them. Okay, he was oseba mashu chafetz. In other words, he would basically use it to accomplish things. Tosfot says it wasn't exactly that. It wasn't that he was making magic out of them, but he was basically saying Shem Hashem that you're not supposed to say, the Shem HaMeforash. Anyway, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hechi avet hachi. We're going to now have a bit of an issue because on the one hand, we want to find something he did wrong. On the other hand, it can't be something so terribly wrong that how could Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion have done that? So they say, how on earth could he have done that? Bahatnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah? We saw this in Sanhedrin. Elu she'en lem chelik l'olam haba. Ha'omer ein toha min ha'shamayim ve'ein tchiyat ha'metim min ha'torah. Ba'bashal omer af ho'get ha'shem bo'tiyotav. So here Abishal says, if he does the following thing. So we can't possibly say that Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion was in the category of Ein Lem Chelik L'Olam Haba. He was a great Talmid Chacham. So what did they answer? Lihit Lamed Avad. He did it to learn how to use it in case he ever needed to use it. Okay, in other words, so the truth is, what exactly this Lihit Lamed is? Some people say Lihit Lamed is, the reason why you do it is to know what it is so you can tell people what not to do. Okay? Something like along those lines. Okay? We're not exactly sure what exactly he was training for. Sometimes you do things that people would do even with witchcraft to see what witchcraft is so they could know how to combat it or so they would know what it would look like when they see it. So maybe that's also unclear exactly why he was practicing this, but he was doing it for practicing purposes and not for actual purposes. Kiditanya, lo timod lasot. Okay? This is a little bit more with like witchcraft and things like that. It's from the pasuk in Dvarim Yuchet where it says, "When you get to the land, Asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha, lo tumad la'asot ketovot ha'goyim ahem. Don't learn how to do like the goyim. Aval atalamed lahavinu lahorot. In other words, you can't learn how to do what they do, like let's say witchcraft and things like that, but you can learn it in order to identify it or to teach others what it is. Ella, my time ayanish. So if it was allowed, as on the one hand, we don't want to say he did something terrible. On the other hand, if it was allowed, then how can we say he did something wrong? So what are the answer? Mishum hoget Hashem befer hesya dahave. Okay, because he was hoget Hashem in public. He did this in public, and what's the problem with doing it in public? People might see and not realize that he was doing it just to practice, and therefore they might learn from him that it's okay and you could take Shem Hashem. Some people actually don't have this girsa at all. Elamai taimi anish, okay? In other words, they don't even have that part about, well, then why was he punished? Okay, so if you look at Rashi says, at least people understand from Rashi, that he didn't have the girsa. Why was he punished? And therefore, when it says lehit lamed avad, within that Rashi gives his own interpretation. As Rashi sees the Gemara didn't ask the question, so he answers the question as to, well, then why was he punished? And he answers, "Umi o kadosh baruch hu medakdekim at tzadikim kechut ha-sa'ara." Right, that's a famous that tzadikim get dealt with much more harshly by God because he's so close. They're so close to him. Therefore, he treats them. The expectations are much higher, and that's why he got punished. Okay, so we have two possible reasons. One, maybe it's in our Gemara, maybe it isn't. Okay, in other words, either he was hoget Hashem before Hestia, if you have that girsa. Otherwise, we have Rashi who tells us because he was a great man, and because of that, God was much more careful with him. Now we get to his wife, Alishto lahariga delo michabe. Okay, what do you see here? She didn't protest. In other words, she saw what he was doing and she didn't stop him. Very strong punishment for something like that. V'mikan amru kol mi sheyesh biyado limchot ve'eino moche ne'enash alav. And from here we learn it's not just a wife, but it's anyone who sees somebody do something and doesn't prevent them from doing it, gets punished. Now, the Rambam, I just wanted to point out, the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva, the beginning of Perek Dalet, lists all these people that are makev et ha-tshuva, and he says, Abraham avon gadol v'hausechad en ha-kadosh b'ruchu maspik b'yado la'asot tshuva l'pi godal chata'o, and one of them is, haro'e b'no yotze l'tarbu ra'a v'eino memache b'yado. Okay, this is a very difficult thing to accept as a parent. According to the Rambam, it's very harsh. If you see your son or your child getting involved in bad things and you don't stop them, okay, we all know that nowadays there's no real way to stop children from doing what they want to do, but in the Rambam's days, maybe it was easier, right? Maybe kids listened to their parents more, and therefore there was this idea, if your child's going the tarbut ra and you don't stop them. Ho'il u'beno b'rishuto, here he says it explicitly, since his son is in his rishut, okay, hard to imagine in our lifestyle that this is the case, that, you know, but you can imagine maybe there was a time where that was, that if the parent told the child to stop, the child would stop. And then the Rambam goes one step further, right, and he gets this from here. Anyone who can stop others from doing something, ben yachid, ben rabim, v'lo micha, he puts in that category those who basically let others do things when they have the capability of stopping them. Okay, obviously, it's a big debate about who do you actually have control over and can you really stop people, even a spouse, right? We all know this. You can tell your spouse something that you think they should be doing and they won't necessarily listen, right? So, just because I wanted to point out here, it's not just because she was his wife, okay? It was because there was an assumption here that she could have stopped him. And it could apply to anybody. That's why I wanted to bring the Rambam. I mean, the Gemara says it also, but I thought it was more explicit in the Rambam. Al bitol she bekubash shel zonot. De amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, what did she do wrong? Rabbi Yochanan tells the story. The pam achat hayta bitom mahalechet lifnei gdolei Romi. One day, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion's daughter was walking before the great men of Rome. Amru kama naot psiotesh shel rivazo. This actually reminds me, years ago I went to Italy and I remember noticing there were very few women on the street, and any women that were on the street, there were like catcalls, people, you know, calling out to them, and this is obviously what they did here. They said, oh, look at that beautiful girl. Miyad diktika b'psioteha. Okay, the assumption here is immediately she started walking even nicer, right? In other words, showing off a little bit. V'hainu d'amar b'shimon ben lakish, my diktiv avon akeva yisabuni. Okay, what's the pasuk where it says in Tehillim, the avon of my akevim, of my steps, Yesubeni will encircle me, like it'll trap me. Okay, this is her. Sha'adam dash ba'akeva ba'olam hazeh, misubin lo liyom adin. Okay, so what happens? A person, now there's a few different interpretations here. Dash ba'akevav means he walks in a particular way ba'olam hazeh, it will catch him b'yom adin. And this is referring to this woman, you know, or at least she could be an example of this, where she walked a particular way and it caught up with her b'yom adin, and she was judged to death. Rashi also points out that lishnachrina, he says, sha'adam dorsam b'raglav she'en chashuvim b'einav klum. It doesn't mean literally with her feet, even though it was with her feet, but what it means is she treated this, the importance of, I guess, chutzniut, or walking, you know, not kind of trying to attract attention to herself, and especially to the Romans, she treated it like she trampled over it, like it wasn't important to her. Okay, and that's what got her b'yom hadin. And that's why also it's, you can see what she did is relevant to her punishment, right? She ended up having to go to a Beit Zonot. So now what happens? B'sha'a she'atzu shloshtam, when they all got killed, sadku alehem et hadin. They said tziduk hadin, which is something we do at a funeral. In fact, they each said three different psukim, and one said a part of a pasuk, one said another part of the pasuk, and another one said a third pasuk, and these three things are all part of tziduk hadin that we do at a funeral today. Hu amar hatzur tamim pa'alo, right? God is a rock. V'ishto amra el emuna ve'ein aven, right? God is steadfast and has nothing, no iniquity, or ein aval, no, just say nothing bad, or
righteousness.
Bito amra gadol ha'itza ve'rav ha'alila asher inecha p'chot al kol drachai. Okay, right? God is gadol ha'itza ve'rav ha'alila. He knows everything, basically. He can see everything I do, which is, you know, you can imagine she was thinking about what she had done. And here, well, God could see everything that she had done. Okay. Amar Rebbe. Kama gdolim tzadikim halalu. So Rebbe's reaction to this was, wow, how great are these three tzadikim? Sheniznamnu lahem shalosh mikro'ot shel tziduk hadin b'shat tziduk hadin. In other words, they were such great people that they basically immediately were able to be matzdika alavat hadin and figured out, you know, like right away, new psukim that had these concepts in them. Tanu Rabbanan, kishachala Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Okay, now we're going to have a different story about Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyom, which also leads to this story. When Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was sick, halach Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyom levakro. We don't know so much about Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, but there seems to be, notice his name, Kisma, Kesem. Okay? There seemed to be this concept that he was a bit of a fortune teller. So it could be that that's why Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyom went to him, and you're going to see from the story that he clearly is a fortune teller, at least according to the story. Amar lo Chanina achi, iata yodea sheumazo min hashamayim himlichua, shechriva et beito, v'sarfa techalo, v'hargat chasida, v'avda tovav, v'adayin hikayemet. So he starts off and he says to him, don't you know that the Romans clearly, right, God is behind them. They destroyed our Beit HaMikdash, they killed our great people, you know, basically, and they're still going. So clearly, they have God on their side. You know, this is the hand of God going on. V'ani shamati alecha, here comes the anti-Kana'i attitude. The anti-zealot attitude. V'ani shamati alecha shata yoshev v'osek b'torah u'makil kilot b'rabim. V'sefer munach lecha, or sefer Torah munach lecha b'chaykecha. What are you doing? He says to him, I can't understand. The Romans clearly have a lot of power. Not only do they have power, but it's from the power of God. It basically proves, you know, the fact that they've done all the terrible things, and they're still surviving, that means God is with them and basically wants them to you know, be in charge right now. And you're sitting defying their authority? This is a classic. Do we give in or do we go against? Amar lo. So what does Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon say? Min hashamayim yiruchamu. Okay? God should have rachamim on me. Amar lo. Ani omer, this is a great answer. Ani omer lecha dvarim shaltam, v'atal omer li min hashamayim yiruchamu. I'm telling you logic, rational things. And you're telling me God will have rachamim on me? Right? Wait, considering it's a very powerful statement. He says, that doesn't hold any water. Tameh ani im lo yisrafu otcha v'et sefer Torah be'esh. Okay? Tameh usually means I wonder, but here it doesn't really mean I wonder. He says, it seems to me, he's basically predicting the future, that you're going to burn and the Torah that you've been holding so dear to you is also going to burn. Amar lo, so now Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma says to Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, Rabbi ma'ani l'chaya olam haba. Oh, so, I'm sorry. No. So Rabbi Chanina says to him, he says, well, Rebbe, will I get olam haba? Okay, in other words, maybe he's saying you're going to get destroyed in this world, but he says to him, but will I get to the next world? In other words, look, what I'm doing is clearly in the name of God. Will I get to chaya olam haba? So now you might think that what's going to get him to chaya olam haba? Well, the Torah he learned, right? Because that's all. He's all about Torah. Remember, he didn't do Gemilu Chassadim, right? That was what we said in the page before. Or at least he didn't do enough Gemilu Chassadim. So, you know, we assume what's going to get him into Olam Haba is Torah. Amar lo klu ma'aseh ba li yadcha. Do you have any ma'aseh to tell me that you've done? Okay, in other words, again, stressing ma'aseh versus limud Torah. The limud Torah isn't going to do it for you. In fact, he even references it when he says you're going to burn and the Torah is going to burn with you, which is a crazy concept of the Torah burning, right? That's the holiest of the holies is going to be burning with you, and he's basically saying your Torah is useless, right? Your Torah is not going to protect you. So he says, so tell me, so Amar lo, and this is the story we saw yesterday, Ma'ot shel Purim nitchafu li b'ma'ot shel tzedakah v'chilaktim la'aniim. One time my Ma'ot shel Purim got mixed up with my Ma'ot I put aside for tzedakah and I gave them all to aniim. Amar lo, im ken, mechalkacha yehe chalki, megoracha yehe gorali. Okay, if that's the case, then I want to go with you up to Shamayim. Okay, in other words, yes, you will get chaya olam haba, but notice for what? For, according to this, right, it's one act that he did. It's very similar to all those stories when Rebbe said, you know, yesh koneh olamo be in a moment. Now you could say, okay, well, we're not going to say that about Rebbe Chanina ben Tradion. He wasn't an evil guy. But his Torah wasn't enough for him. He was maybe too obsessed with Torah also. Maybe that was part of his problem. But yet he did have this ma'aseh, and this ma'aseh is going to get him into Olam Haba. Now, what happens in the story? Amru, lo hayu yamim mu'atim. Okay, very soon after the story happened, az sheniftar Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma. V'alchu kol gdolei romi lekavro, v'spidu haspe gadol. Okay, clearly he was, you could tell by his attitude, he was in with the Romans. So all these Roman officers came to give a haspe for him and to bury him. And lo and behold, right, they came to the Jewish community to do the haspe. And on the way back, who did they see doing what? U'b'chazaratan mitza'u l'Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion shaya yoshev v'osek b'torah u'makil kilot v'rabim v'sefer torah munach lo b'cheko. Okay, so they basically find Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion on this visit, right? It's ironic. As they went to, maybe also because Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma said, I want to be with you, maybe, so then when he went, it was time for Rabbi Chanina to go. And therefore, their deaths become intertwined also. That when one dies, so the other one also has to die. So basically, Rabbi Chanina gets caught then. Hevi'u v'charchu b'sefer Torah, right? So now they take him, this we know from Eile Ezkara, they wrap the Sefer Torah around him, and then they surround him with these, what is it?
The shoots from the grapevine.
What?
The shoots from the grapes.
V'itzitu b'hen et ha'or, and they light them on fire. Heviu sfogin shel tzemer, and then they take all this tzemer, ushra'um b'mayim, that they basically soak in water, and then they try to delay his death, so they put this wet cotton or wool or something on him to basically absorb this, to absorb the fire so that it takes a very long time for him to die. Amra lo bito, his daughter says, Abba, erecha b'kach. She says, right, right, this is how I see you, right? Rashi says, Klomar, Zois Chara Shel Torah, right? This is how I have to see you. Amar la, Yomaleh Ani Nisrafti Levadi, Haya Davar Kasheli. Now, this is how I have to see you burning with your Torah around you. So he says to her, if I burned by myself, that would have been very difficult. Achshav Shani Nisraf B'Sefer Torah Imi, Misha Mevakesh El Bona Shel Sefer Torah, Hu Yivakesh El Boni. So he says, now that I'm burning with the Sefer Torah, obviously God is not going to let a Sefer Torah burn without enacting revenge on it. So basically, right, again, he's talking in his zealotry. yeah, I was saying zealotous voice. You say that with the voice of zealotry, and he basically says, you know, they're gonna. So whoever does that will basically yivakesh al boni. Amrulo tamidav, Rebbe ma taroe. So then they say to him as he's burning, they say, what do you see? Amar lahen gilayon nisrafim va'otiot porchot. Right, this is very famous. Right, I see the scroll burning, but the otiot are porchot, meaning they might burn the Torah, but the Torah never burns. In other words, the otiot are coming out of the Sefer Torah. They will live forever. The fact that this, you know, it's just a piece of paper burning, basically. Apatap tach picha v'tikanes b'cha ha'esh. So they say, open your mouth and let the fire go in so that you can die quicker. Amar lahem mutav shi'itlena misha netana va'al yechbal hu ba'atzmo. But okay, he says, better if God wants, you know, God's going to kill me, let him kill me. You know, he gave me my life, he takes away my life. I can't take away my life at all. So even though he was about to die, even by quickening his death, he was saying, it's forbidden for me to quicken my death. It's like committing suicide. Amar lo katstorini, katstini, katstoniri, okay, which is the person who is executing the death, okay, the person who's in charge of killing people, the Roman person, says, Rebbe, im ani marbe b'shalhevet v'notel sfogin shel tzemer me'al libcha, atam mevi'ani l'chaya olam haba. Okay, he heard that Rabbi Hanina was unwilling to speed up his death. So he says, if I do it for you, will I get olam haba? Amar lo hein, he says yes. He shavali, so he says, swear to me. Nishbalo, amazing, he's having this whole conversation with fire going on around him, right? He swears to him. Miyad hirbaba shal hevef and atal sfogin shal tzemer me'al libo. Okay, immediately raises the level of the fire, takes out some of the wool. Yatztanish matobim heran, he immediately dies. Afu kafatz v'nafal l'toch ha'or. So now this Roman guy is so amazed by what's happening that he jumps into the fire and basically kills himself, which is interesting because we just said you're not allowed to commit suicide, but in this case, right, maybe because he wasn't Jewish, it's a little strange, but you'll see, okay, yatsa bat kol v'amra, Rabbi Hanina ben Chadron, v'kaltz toniri, muzmanin hen l'chaya olam haba. Okay, they get chaya olam haba.
Well, what's interesting is that they told him to open his mouth to die faster, but he was talking, so his mouth was opening.
So his mouth was opening anyhow. Yeah, fair.
But it wasn't for the
right.
Point.
It wasn't for the purpose of
for the purpose.
Right. But it's true. It might have helped him also. That is true. Maybe that's why they were talking to him, trying to get him to talk, so that they would. They figured he wouldn't do it otherwise, but he will respond to them. And as usual, what's the reaction to the story? Bacha Rebbe v'amar yesh konel lamo b'sha achat v'yesh konel lamo b'kama shanim. Okay? Now, whether Rebbe said this in each story, right, or else, either they copy and paste it and say, Rebbe said it there, he probably would have said the same thing here, or maybe Rebbe said that statement about a number of stories. And as he said, there's a bunch of situations where people are konel lamo b'sha achat. And here's another one where the katstoniri, right, who not only does he get it in a moment, but also he had just killed Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion. And he just did something horrible, and yet a minute later, he gets himself into olam haba. It's a crazy story. Okay, the story continues. Bruria, okay, so now Rabbi Hanina is dead, his wife is dead, even though we don't really hear about her death, and his daughter is sent to the prostitution house. Now, something else to know about Rabbi Hanina ben Chajon is that he had a daughter named Bruria, who we all know about, Bruria, the famous woman who, Tamida Chachama. So Bruria, debitu de Rabbi Meir, okay, she was the wife of Rabbi Meir, was also Barte Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion Havai. Okay, she wasn't the one who was sent to the prostitution house. That was a different daughter of his. But she happens to be also his daughter. Amrlo, she says to her husband, Rabbi Meir, Zila be milti di yat v'achtai b'kuba shel zonot. It's really a busha that my sister's there. Let's get her out. Shaka tarkeva de dinari. So her husband, Rabbi Meir, goes. He takes a big vessel full of dinarim. Va'azal, and he goes to the where she is. Amar, ilo etavid ba'isura mitavid nisa. I ave isura lo etavid la nisa. Says, if she's already slept with men, emalaso, no miracle's going to happen. But if she hasn't, then a miracle's going to happen. Azal nakat nafshe kechab parsha. He basically dresses himself up to look like a Roman. Amar la, hashmieni li, he goes to her and seduces her and says, you know, come sleep with me. Amar le, dishatana ana. She says, it's my time of the month. Can't sleep with you. Sorry. Amarla, mitrachna meritach. He says, I'll wait for you. Amralo, nefishin tuva. There's a lot of other beautiful women here. Don't wait for me. You know, go sleep with them. Dishapir minai, who are even more beautiful than me. Amar, so what does he infer from this? Shmamina lo avda isura. It must be she never really slept with anyone. Kol da'ate amra lehachi. Right? Anyone who comes to her, she must have said this to them. Okay, by the way, this just story is very interesting in terms of, we talked about don't go to the Beit Zonot, stay far away, right? Obviously, there's a bit of either pikuach nefesh or pikuach nefesh, not from a save her nefesh from death, but save her nefesh from terrible things. And, you know, it reminds a little bit of the Yehuda and Tamar story, right? He goes and seduces her. Like, the man going to the prostitution house trying to get the woman, it has all sorts of references in my head of other stories. So anyway, he infers from this, she must be saying this to every man who comes, and she obviously never slept with anyone. So let's get her out of here. Aza legabe shomer dida. So he goes to the guy in charge of her. Amar le, havani ale. He says, give her to me. Amar le, mistafina mi machuta. I'm scared of the machut, what they're going to do if I let her go. Amar le, shkol tarkava di dinare. Take this whole huge basket of dinarim. Palga plach, half of it take for you. Upaga lehavilach, and half of it you should keep to basically bribe your way out of anything that they're going to try to get you for letting her go free. Amar le, b'chishame, my yavid. Well, what am I going to do when I have no money left? You know, when I've paid it all the bribes and I don't have any more money to pay bribes with. Amar le, Ema, you should say these words. Elaha demeir enenu umatzelet. Hey, God who is meir enenu, who brightens our eyes, will save me. Okay? And basically, say these words, magic words, and they will save me. Amar le, umi yemar dahachiika. How do I know that this is really going to work? Amar le, hashtachazit. You'll see right now, Rabbi Meir tells him. There were carnivorous dogs. Shakal kala shadabahu. He takes a, what's the kala here? Pisat regavim, right? He takes a thing and throws it at them. Habaka'atu lemichle. What is it? Ah, okay. So I think the Roman guy took the clod of earth and threw it at them.
Rabbi Meir's trying to pull it.
Rabbi Meir threw it, right? That's what happens. Rabbi Meir throws it at the dogs, gets them angry. They come and try to attack this guy. Have a ka'ata lemichle. You think it was at himself, and he used the words, and it worked. I see. So they got angry at Rabbi Meir. Okay, thanks for correcting me. They wanted to eat Rabbi Meir, and he says, Allah de Meir enai, and Shavkua. Okay, they leave him alone. Okay. Oh, I said it wrong. It's just the words of Alahad Meir Enenu Umatzelet is, and you'll be saved. Sorry, you don't say those words Umatzelet. Okay, and you'll be saved is what will happen if you do that. So he says Alahad Meir Enenu. One second. Is it Anani?
Anani.
That's what it is. Okay. Sorry. Elohad Meir, God who brightens, should answer me. Sorry, I read it wrong.
God of Meir. Because it's Rabbi Meir who's talking.
Oh, that's what you think it is?
That's what it says.
Oh, so I read it wrong. Okay, fine. Thank you for the correction. It's the God of Meir should answer me. Okay, I totally read it wrong.
Since it was
fine.
His God.
Yeah, fine. So the God of Meir should answer me. I see. Okay. Shavkua v'yavele. So they leave him, okay? And he gave it to him, and, you know, then he took the girl out. L'self ishtema milta b'malka. So eventually they find out what happened. Achua, and they bring him vaskuel is kifa, and they basically make him stand up to judgment, and they're about to kill him. And as they try to this kifa, as they try to hang him, Amar elahad meir aneni. Right, the God of Meir should answer me. Achua, and they can't. They leave him. They can't. They lower him down. And as they raise him up to hang him, and they basically lower him down. Amrule, my high. They said, what is this? Like, why can't we hang you? You know, they realize there's something going on. Amar lehu, hachi hava maset. This is what happened, he tells them. Atu, chakeku lidmutei de Rabbi Meir, apitcha de Romi. They put up a huge wanted sign, okay? A huge wanted poster with the image of Rabbi Meir all over, right? The entrance of Rome. Amru, kol dechazi lepartzufa hadin laite. Okay, bring him over here. Yomachada Chazuha, one day somebody finds Rabbi Meir, Ra'at Abatre, they run after him, Ra'at Mikamayu, he runs away from them. Where does he run to? Al Lebezonot, he goes into a whorehouse. Ika da Amre, and then what happens? So now they can follow him into there, right? That's not a problem. But Ika da Amre, Bishule of De Kochavim Chaza, he saw some non kosher food. Tamash Baha Umatak Baha. What did he do? He wants to disguise himself as a non Jew. So what does he do? He sticks his finger in and then licks his finger. But he sticks in, let's say, his second finger and he licks his third finger. But he makes it look like he's licking his finger from the non kosher food. So they obviously assume that it's not Rabbi Meir. Ika da Amre. Some people say that something else happened, and it's interesting. You would go into a Beit Zono, what would you think? He would be machshav with Zono, you know, it would look like. So that's the first version, is it was food that got him. Right? Food and sex is always like the main things that go on, right? The main ta'avot. The second option is, Ata Eliyahu, idame lekizona. So Eliyahu comes appearing as a zona. Krachte, so he wraps himself around her like he hugs her, which is really Eliyahu. Amre chas v'shalom, right? They say, can't be. Rabbi Meir hava lo av avid hachi. Can't be. If that was Rabbi Meir, there's no way he would have done that. And therefore, you know, they leave him, okay? So he basically hides away in this Beit Zono, which is kind of ironic that in, you know, that's where he's hiding again. Kam ark ata lebavel. And then when he gets, right, this is classic, like Moshe Rabbeinu, they wanted to kill him, right? So what does he do? He runs to Midian. So from here, Rabbi Meir runs away to Bavel. Ikadamre mehai maaseh. Some people say the reason he ran to Bavel was from this maaseh. And ikadamre mehmaaseh de Bruria. And some people say it was because of what happened with Bruria. Now, what happened with Bruria? So this is a very famous story that actually appears nowhere in the Gemara. So Rashi suggests that what's this maaseh? Obviously, something went wrong with Bruria. You wonder, here was this woman. Maybe the rabbis had to kind of, you know, minimize her significance. I'm not sure exactly. But there was some masorah that there was some maaseh Bruria. So Rashi says here, Shapamachal Ligliga al Shamru Chachamim Nashim Da'atan Kalotein, right? She mocked the fact that the Chachamim said that women are lightheaded, you know, not very smart. Va'amarla Chayecha Sufcha Lehodot L'divrehem. And they said to, so he said to her, I don't know who said to her, but, you know, in the end, you're going to eventually agree with what they say. V'tziva Lecha Mitamidav L'nasota. So he sent one of his Talmidim to, I'm not sure who the character is here. Oh, it says Rabbi Meir himself? Ah, that's why. Okay. Got it. Okay, so he says, I'm going to send one of my Talmidim to test her, which is interesting. It's like the flip of this story. Right? He goes into the Beit Zonot as about to sleep with her, and in this story, he sends someone to seduce her. So, Lidvar Avera. V'ivtzir b'yamim rabim ad shenitratzeit. And eventually, she eventually gives in to him. U'kishenodala chankatzma. Okay, and when she realized that it was all a test, she basically strangles herself. Arak Rabbi Meir machmat kisufan. He was so humiliated by what had happened that he ran away. Okay, terrible, tragic end to her life and to their relationship. Okay, Tanu Rabanan. Okay, end of that story, right? You know, what to make of all these stories, I can think about it. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Ha'olech li'itzdadinan ulekarkom, vera'a shamaten chashim ve'et chabarim, bukion umukion umulion velulion, blorin usalgorin, hareze moshav leitzim. Okay, these are all the ways the Romans used to amuse themselves with sorcerers and clowns and all sorts of characters. This is Moshav Litzim. Now we're going to basically get into the whole concept of Moshav Litzim. Valehem HaKatuv Omer, Ashrei HaIsh Asher Lo Halach. Okay, I have to read the rest of the pasuk. It's the very beginning of Sefer Tehillim. Ashrei HaIsh Asher Lo Halach Ba'atzar Rasha'im, U'Biderech HaTa'im Lo Amad, U'B'Moshav Litzim Lo Yashav. Okay, so this is what we talk about, Moshav Litzim. Okay, and Ashrei HaIsh that never did this. So, ki im b'torat Hashem chavtzo. Okay, that's the next pasuk. U'v'torato yege yomam v'alayla. Okay, these are the first two pasukim of Sefer Tehillim. Halamadita shedvarim halalu mivim et ha'adam lidei bitul toha. Okay, so they're basically saying, you can see from the pasukim where the Moshav Litzim is up against limud Torah. In other words, don't do Moshav Litzim, you should be learning Torah. Okay, so one who does Moshav Litzim is basically being mevatel Torah. Uriminhi. And this seems to contradict another source. Hochin li tzedinim mut or right. I'm not sure what the should read hochin. Hochin li tzedinim mutar mipnei shetzavach umatzil. You're allowed to go to the Yitzdadyom because what might you be able to do? You might be able to scream and get the guy saved. In other words, the Yitzdadyom were, you know, the gladiator fights, the bullfights, and a Jew might be dying there, so you might be able to scream to save him. Ula karkom mutar mishum yishuv medina. And karkom is allowed. Oh, karkom is where they would have people who were besieging the city. Okay, they'll say they put up a siege in the city, so they would provide them with entertainment. Okay, like, you know, they have this whole wing in the army of entertainment, you know. The, so they would be...
Americans come to Haifa.
Uh-huh.
When all the sailors come and they have all these entertainment programs for them.
Yeah. So here the enemy had these people that would come entertain them while they were besieging a city. Okay, maybe, right, we don't exactly do it while you're in the middle of war, but, okay. Well, the karkom mutar mishum yishuv medina. Okay, it's good because of yishuv medina, because...
Actually, sieges
right,
because
you
boring.
Could. What?
Sieges were very boring. They weren't fighting. They were just besieging.
Right, they were just besieging. Right, so they had nothing to do. So they entertained them. But the reason of Yishuv Medina here is because, what are you doing? Because you're. I guess you can also maybe. One second.
Big economic advantage.
One may visit and encirclement to petition the besiegers to spare the Jews.
Right. Again, it's the issue of saving. Right. Once you're there, you can sort of, while they're in a good mood, you can maybe get them to save the Jews there. Ubevad shelo yitchashev imahem. Okay, but you can't join them and strengthen them in any way. Ve'im nitchashev imahem asur. And if you do that, well, then obviously it's forbidden. So now we see kashi yitzdadinin ayitzdadinin and kashi karkoma karkom. Right. Our source said, the brayta we brought said you can't do either of these. And the second brayta said you can do both of these. Bishlama karkoma karkom. Yeah, what?
It just sounds like there are things that were going on that the rabbis were struggling with. And that they're trying to come to terms.
With the Jew, with the integration,
yeah.
And they're trying to come to terms with the integration. And maybe, like Ani's saying, maybe some had the approach, these things are okay. And others had the approach, these things aren't okay. But as the Gemara always likes to do is, let's kind of work them in together and come up with one kind of approach that makes sense. But it's very possible, like what Ani's saying, is that the rabbis, number one, were struggling with the fact that the Jews were getting involved in all these things that the non-Jews were doing. Also, when you take this, like Moshav Letzim, some people nowadays take it to, okay, you can't go to any form of entertainment, you can't, how far you take this, right? Does this mean literally, okay, don't go for anything that's entertaining? But most of these things are where they're killing people, or you know, they're things that are involved already in they're not just entertainment, but they're entertainment for things that have to do with killing people and killing Jews. So, also why they seem to be preventing them. So, anyway, they say, so each one contradicts. So, look, so, bishlama karkom karkom, we can understand there's really no contradiction there because you could say, lo kashya, kam b'mitchashev imahem, kam b'mitchashev imahem. We already said, you can do it in one way, not in another way. If you're with them, then you can't do it and strengthen them. But if you're trying to save people, then of course you can. Ele itzidinima itzidim kashya. So, what do they say? Tanaihi. It's a machloket tanaim. Titania, ein ochin litzedini mipnei moshav litzim. Okay, Tanakama says, no way. The Rabbi Natan matir mipnei shnei dvarim. Rabbi Natan says it's allowed for two reasons. Echad mipnei shetzavach umatzil. One reason is because you can call out and try to save the guy. Echad, interesting one, mipnei shemeid edut isha lahasi'a. If the guy gets killed, we want there to be a witness. We need kosher witnesses. So we want there to be a witness so he'll be able to testify so his wife can get remarried. Right? Terrible thought. If that's why you can go to this fight so that you can testify once he gets killed. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Ein ochin l'taritiot ul'karkisaot. Okay, theaters and circuses. Mipnei shemizablim sham zibul avodat kochavim divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, what is this zibul? Okay, it sounds like they're doing some sort of worship of Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Meir says, Chachamim omrim, makom shemizablim asur mipnei chashad avodah kochavim, umakom she'ein mizablim sham asur mipnei moshav leitzim. It's asur either which way. Either they're doing Avodah Zarah, in which case it's asur. Or they're doing moshav, or they're not doing Avodah Zarah, but it's just not moshav leitzim. And this is where one could say, oh, never go to the theater, it's moshav leitzim. Right, which obviously, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that that's the case, but here the assumption is these theaters had a lot to do with the whole culture, and they were trying, like Ani says, they were struggling with the fact that the Jews were getting involved in the Roman culture. my benayu. Oh, so first of all, this mizablim is a strange word. Some people say it's mizabchim. They're actually sacrificing, and they use the word lezabel. Zabel comes from zevel, garbage. They're just using it as a term to be derogatory. My benayu, what's the difference between them? Amar Rabbi Chanina Misura, nasa v'natan ika benayu. Okay, if you want to... right, if you want to sell things to them, so if they're a mizablim l'avodah zarah, of course you can't sell things. But if it's just that it's moshav lechtim, then you can sell things. You can make business off of it. You know, that's not usher. Okay. Darash Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi. Mai dechtiv asher ha'ish asher lo alach ba'atzar Hashem uv'derech ha'tim lo amad moshav lechtim lo yashav. Okay, now he's going to darshan like this. It says, lo halach ba'atzar Hashem, lo amad b'derech ha'tim, and lo yashav b'moshav lechtim. And as if he didn't even go there, then how could he be standing there? It says, don't stand there. But you already didn't go, so of course you're not standing. And if you weren't standing there at all, why would you say, don't sit in Moshav Leitzim? Right? Obviously, the pasuk is just being a little poetic and using terms, but they're looking at it very literally. And if he's not sitting, well, then how can he be involved in the okay, lots is generally a word for scornfulness. Okay, that he was. How could he be sitting with them and being scornful or just lazing about doing nothing. Ela lomar lecha shim alach sefo lamod v'im amad sefo leshev v'im yashav sefo lalutz v'im latz alav ketuv lomar im chachamta chachamta lach v'im latzta or v'im. I have to just read because it's a correction here. V'im v'latzta levadcha tisa. Okay, if here we say, so going leads you to standing. Standing leads you to sitting. Sitting leads you to be scornful with them, right? They're really talking about these people who just sit around doing nothing. And what do? They just mock other people and they talk badly about them and they do nothing with their lives, basically. So they say, the pasuk says, if you're smart, then you'll be smart for yourself. And if you're lots, then you'll just be there you'll be all on your own. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Okay, what does this mean? Right, don't get involved in lotzitzu because pen yechaskum mosrochem from yisurin. Okay, your yisurin will be tremendous. Amar lehu rabbanan, rabba le rabbanan, bimtuta beina minaychu. I want you to explain to me. I'm going to ask of you. Okay, don't get involved in this because Yisurim will come upon you. I'm a Rav Katina. I thought maybe his name is Katan here. And look what he says. Call him at Lotzeitz Mizonotav Mitma'atim. Your food, you'll get much less food. Shneamar Meshach Yado et Lotzitzim. Okay, the God basically takes his hand away from the Lotzitzim, right? We always say, hey, God gives us Potech Yadecha, and this is Moshech Yado. I've been thinking about this whole Lotzitzim, why this is coming up here. You know, part of it is Moshav Leitzim that the Goyim are involved in, but I actually think that it also flips the other way. Because what are Lotzitzim here? They're people that are scornful against other people, and often Jews are scornful against non-Jews. It's very common. They kind of mock them. And what this is saying is, keep busy, keep involved in your thing. Don't sit around and do nothing because it'll lead you even to be scornful against non-Jews, which it's also not fond of. In other words, the whole idea of just sitting around mocking other people is, so even though they're saying don't do it because it's like what they're doing, but also be smart not to do it to the, you know, don't talk about them, you know, even though there's a big temptation, let's say, to do that. Amar Rishim ben Lakish, kolam et notzeitz nofel b'gehenom. Okay, here we get all those words of gehenom, right, to scare people. It's the scare tactics we always say. If they say this, then they know people will stop doing it. So again, it's showing what? I think what Ani was saying, that this was a real struggle that they were having. And that they're, whenever you see those words, you already know immediately, this is, they're going out on the attack because there's a need. Because people are really very much involved in this stuff. And therefore, they want to tell you, you'll end up in gehenom, shneamar. Zed Yahir Leitz Shmo, okay, a proud and haughty man, his name is a scorner. Oseb Evrat Zadon, he acts with arrogant wrath. Ve'ein Evrat Ela Gehenom. Okay, so here you see the Leitz, he's called the Leitz, and where is he going to end up? In Gehenom. Shenemar Yom Evra HaYom Ahu. The day of judgment, right, the day of Gehenom is Yom Evra. Amar of Yoshaya, he learned something else in that pasuk. It started off Zed Yahir, what's Yahir? Kolamit Yahir, anyone who's arrogant, who thinks the world of himself, no fail but Gehenom. Shneamar, Zed Yahir, Leit Shmo, Seb Evrat Zadon, Vein Evra, Ela Gehenom. Shneamar, Yom Evra HaYomahu. Amar Rabbi Chanilai Bar Chanilai, it's not Rabbi Chanilai, it's Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai. Anyone who does this will cause the world to be destroyed. Right? That's what we saw before. You'll have a lot of yisurin, suffering. But the continuation of the pasuk is ki chalav v'nechratza shamati. Okay, that there'll be this huge extermination, which is wholly determined, I have heard. That's how the pasuk reads. Amar b'Elazar kashehi, shetchilat yisurim v'sofo klaya. Okay, this is very hard, because it starts off with suffering, and it ends in utter destruction. Darash Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, ashrei ha'ish asher lo alach l'tartiot ulekar kisaot shel avdei kochavim, ubederech hata'im lo amad, ashrei ha'ish asher lo alach is, sorry, I didn't read it right. The basuk again, going back to that basuk in Tehillim, asher lo alach matzav reshaim is theaters and circuses of avdei kochavim. Ubederech hata'im lo amad, ze shel amad b'kin agyon. Okay, that's where they had those the animal fights and the gladiators. Moshav lo yitzim lo yashav, shelo yashav b'tachbulot. Okay, what's this tachbulot? Some people say it's the people, the leitzim, who are just sitting on street corners. And some people say tachbulot are two people fighting each other, right? Whereas the previous one was animals fighting each other or animals fighting people. This is the gladiators, two people fighting each other. Shema yomar adam ho'il v'lo alachti l'tarti odu kar kisao v'lo amadti b'kinyagyon. Elech be'etgare b'sheina. Okay, you might say, look, I'm not doing any of this stuff. And here they go in for the real kill. Say, I'm not doing any of this stuff. I'm not going to the theaters. I'm not doing any of the stuff the Romans do, right? But I'm just going to go lie back and sleep all day. Talmud Lamar, so what does it say in the next pasuk? U'b'torato yegei yomam v'alayla. In other words, it's not that, but anything past that is okay, like doing nothing. No, no, no. You can't do nothing either. You can't just sleep your day away, okay? Good lead into Shabbat. Okay? Don't sleep all Shabbat, but u'b'torato yegei yomam v'alayla. Okay, that's the main thing. And you'll see tomorrow they get into Avram Avinu and they show all the things that Avram Avinu, all the temptations that he wasn't with Sodom and Gomorrah and he wasn't with the Plishtim and he didn't follow, right? It shows, they take Avram Avinu as the example par excellence of someone who had a lot to do with non-Jews, which he's a very interesting example because he was very involved with non-Jews. And what they're trying to say is you can be very involved in non-Jewish life and yet stay far away when it comes to learning from their behaviors and stick with the learning Torah, and that's going to get you, which is interesting because we said the other day, learning Torah isn't everything, right? But here it's now going the other way and say, well, that's the way, you know, again, the learning Torah is what keeps you busy so that you're not doing all those other things and it keeps you focused in the right direction. Okay, on that note, I won't say don't take a nap.